الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. I ask Allah to grant us all the sincere intentions and the good endings. In the past sessions, we talked about the first shahada. Now we will talk about the meaning of the second shahada, the testification that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. The author said, the meaning of ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah is I know, believe and declare that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, who is the son of Abdul Muttalib, who is the son of Hashim, who is the son of Abdu Manaf, from the tribe of Quraysh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the slave of Allah and his messenger to all the humans and jinn. The explanation, the second testification of faith, means to testify, that is, to know, to believe, and to utter that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. He is the son of Abdullah from the tribe of Quraysh, and he was sent to all the human being and jinn. As Allah said in Surah Al-Furqan, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا, which means to warn the humans and jinn. This means that the angels are not involved because obedience is inherent in them. They do not disobey Allah, so they do not need to be warned. This does not mean that they do not have a will. They have a will. They choose, but they always choose to obey Allah Ta'ala. They never choose to disobey Him. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam is sent to all the humans and jinn, which means that he was ordered namely. He was told namely that he is sent to all the humans and jinn. As for the previous prophets, each one of them was sent to his people. It does not mean that he wouldn't order al-ma'roof and forbid al-munkar except with his people. It does not mean that he wouldn't call to al-Islam except his people. No. But only his people were named for him, were mentioned for him. The author said, one must believe he was born in Mecca and sent as a messenger therein. He immigrated to Al-Madinah and was buried therein. And he was truthful in everything he told about. He was truthful in everything he told about and conveyed from Allah. Among the matters that are connected to the belief in the second shahada is to know that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam is from the tribe of Quraysh, which is the best tribe among the Arab tribes and the most influential. Also, to know that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam was born in Mecca, he first received the revelation therein explicitly in the cave of Hira. Then he emigrated to Al-Madinah. 13 years later, he emigrated to Al-Madinah. He stayed in Al-Madinah for 10 years. Then he died and was buried in Al-Madinah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam was buried in the chamber of Lady Aisha where he died, because he himself said that the prophets, they would be buried at the same place where they die. It is a must to believe that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam is truthful about every matter he conveyed from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He does not commit any mistake in that issue. Whether this is related to the previous nations, what happened with the previous nations, the beginning of the creation, about what is halal and what is haram, or about the future, what happens in the future. Moreover, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was entitled to make ijtihad about matters which he did not receive an explicit revelation about them. Because if Ash-Shafi'i and Abu Hanifa, Ahmad and Malik are entitled to make ijtihad, then more so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is entitled to do so. But be careful here. When An-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made ijtihad to deduce a judgment that is a religious judgment, whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made ijtihad about a religious judgment, always his ijtihad, his deduction was correct. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, Al-Shafi'i and Ahmad, they might come to a wrong conclusion. They are not prophets, although they are not sinful with that. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam always had the correct ijtihad, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He himself said, whenever I order you with something among the matters of the religion, then go ahead with it, take it as is. As for the matters of ad-dunya, I am a human being. Which means I might be mistaken about some matters of the worldly matters. But about the matters of the religion, definitely no. Definitely no. You know that for the palms to have fruits, to have dates, to have fruits, it has to be pollinated. At one time the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told them, why don't you leave it? So they left it without pollinating it. Most of the trees did not carry fruits. So later he said, أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِأُمُورِ دُنْيَاكُمْ. He said, in some matters of the worldly matters, you know more. This is narrated by Muslim. As in the matters of the religion, the ijtihad of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is never wrong. One famous person who claims to be a scholar, he always comes up on the TV and talks about the matters of the religion. One time he made a mistake, among many mistakes that he made. And he was later corrected about that. So instead of saying, this was a mistake on my part, the correct thing is such and such, he went ahead to say, the Prophet made ijtihad and his ijtihad was wrong. I am like him. A'udhu billah. Ya Latif. Allah yarhamuna. Our master Umar, one day he was speaking to the people, and he noticed that they were asking as mahar, the women were asking as mahar a high amount. So he was worried about that. He did not want for marriage to become difficult. He addressed the people. He said, whomever pays more than what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam paid or was paid to one of his daughters, I will take what exceeds that and put it in the Muslim treasury. After he said that, a woman who was among the people who heard him, she came to him. She said, you are not entitled to do that, because Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Quran, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. If you give as a mahar one of them qintar, qintar is a big amount of gold, much bigger than what Umar said, then don't take from it without their permission, that is, anything. This is hers. When he heard that, he didn't tell her, go away, who are you? I'm the ruler, etc. No, he went back, simply, he went back to the people and he said, I was mistaken, and that woman was correct. Pay whatever you want as a mahar. Ask for whatever you want as a mahar. This is the true humbleness. This is the true humbleness. This is narrated by Al-Bazzar from, and Al-Bayhaqi narrated it. The author said, among what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام informed us of the torture in the grave and the enjoyment therein, and the questioning of the two angels, Munkar and Nakir. It is an obligation to believe that some of the people they are enjoying in their graves, and others will be tortured or are tortured in their graves. Allah said in Al-Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى, which means the one who does not believe in what I revealed, he will face a severe life, and on the day of judgment he will be like a blind person, similar to a blind person. Where is that? In this world, in this life, many blasphemers, they are not living a tough life, a severe one. And the verse tells us that this happens before the day of judgment. This is in the grave, as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام made it clear. When the person dies, after he is buried, the soul comes back to his body. So he is again aware by soul and body. Two angels come to him. One is called Munkar and the other one is called Nakir. And they are terrifying. Their color is dark navy. They ask him, what did you say about this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If this man was a believer, Allah strengthens his heart, and he answers easily. He says, I used to say he is the messenger of Allah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. They tell him, we knew that this is your case. Then his grave would be widened 70 cubits by 70 cubits, and some people even more, and it would be full with light, similar to the moonlight, full moonlight. Then they would tell him, sleep like the groom who is waken up by the beloved wife. After that, he remains in enjoyments. He does not experience any torture. Of course, this is the pious believer. As for the believers who committed enormous sins and they did not repent, some of them it would be forgiven and they will be enjoying in their graves. Others, they will not be forgiven. They will be tortured in their graves, but less than the torture of the blasphemer. For a certain period, and after that, the torture would cease, and then later on the day of judgment, either Allah forgives them or tortures them. Allah forgives a part of them, tortures another part. Now, as for the blasphemer, when the angels come to him and ask him, he would answer, I don't know. I heard the people saying something. I said as they said. When he says that, the angels insult him, and then they hit him with a hammer on his head. If a mountain is hit by this hammer, it would collapse or vanish, disintegrate. They scream, but we don't hear their screaming. We, humans and jinn, Allah Ta'ala did not enable us to hear their screaming when they are hit with this hammer. Other than the humans and jinn, they hear. The animals, they hear, for example. Then the grave becomes tight on them to a point that the ribs crisscross, and they will remain tortured in torture. They will remain tortured forever. The author said, resurrection, al-ba'ath, assembly, al-hashr, the day of judgment, al-qiyamah, presentation of the deeds, al-hisab, reward, al-thawab, punishment, al-azab, the balance, al-mizan, hellfire, al-nar, the bridge, al-sirat, the basin, al-hawd, the intercession, al-shafa'ah, paradise, al-jannah, seeing Allah Ta'ala with the eye in the hereafter, without Allah having a form or being in a place or a direction different from the way a creation is seen, and the dwelling forever in paradise or hellfire. That's it. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Do you have any question about what we mentioned? In some hadith narrated from the Prophet, it is mentioned that the believer who is tortured in the grave will be tortured for 7 days in the grave. There was a man who was unjust. He was powerful, Muslim. He was powerful. He cooperated with some non-Muslims in that area, and he had power at the time. He used to make deals with people with a riba. And out of his injustice, to show you to which extent, one time he was walking and he saw a female. So he liked her. He took her. She was married. And her husband couldn't prevent him from doing that. Her husband was a weak person. He couldn't prevent him from doing that. This person later died. After he was buried, the people saw the smoke coming out from his grave. So his family, they went to some sheikhs and they asked them, what do we do? They told them, go to the people whom this person made injustice to them and ask them to forgive him. So they asked some people to recite Al-Quran next to his grave, and they started to go from one person to another, asking them to forgive him. Still, the smoke continued to get out from his grave for 7 days. After 7 days, it stopped. This happened to a Muslim who was a sinful Muslim. May Allah protect us.
The person dies.
After the person dies, the soul goes back into the body. Then after the body decays, the soul of the pious believer is in paradise. The soul of the blasphemer is in Sijjin. And the soul of the sinful believer is between the earth and the sky, and some in the first sky.